It's time to scroll through today's top stories. This is the Daily Refresh.
That's right. It is the Daily Refresh, and you can listen to the Refresh Monday through Friday right here at 2 o'clock on The Next Level. And we start the Refresh off with the Browns and head coach Kevin Stefanski as he spoke with the media today. And it was his typical presser, saying a lot without saying anything. Tony Rizzo on the Really Big Show this morning, which you can listen to from 9 to 12. And you can also listen to Riz on the Tony Rizzo Show from 8 to 9 on our ESPN Cleveland YouTube channel. But he thinks Kevin Stefanski wants out.
I think Stefanski wants out of here. He is doing things
yes.
to that don't make sense. And Tony brought this up a couple weeks ago. Once your coach starts not making sense, that's the beginning of the end. I don't know what Kevin's doing. This is a side of Kevin I've never seen.
Are these names coming out for other jobs?
There you go. If I didn't know better, I think he's going like, you know what? I'm going to go down the way I go down. If they get rid of me, they can get rid of me.
I have started to think Stefanski has kind of checked out on this team. Have you guys felt like Stefanski has checked out?
No, I know he hasn't checked out. I mean, he's too emotionally engaged to have checked out. Now, what he's, and to his credit, you got the same thing in press conferences you always get. Now, obviously, yeah. It sounds more downtrodden because it's like, okay, what am I going to be attacked with? Because you are on the defensive because your team is not winning and you're responsible for winning. So why would you not be on the defensive? You're not going to walk up to the podium like, hey, guys, what's going on today, Mary Kay? You're just not going to do that. Or, hey, nice to see you, Tony Grossi. You're just not going to do that.
If anything, I think he's actually more like bought into the mentality of like I would be willing to bet he doesn't see his wife and kids as much as he would like to. Hmm. And that he is so hell-bent on getting this right to make this work with Dylan Gabriel that that's all he cares about.
And
that's all
point.
He cares about. I don't think he's checked out at all. Well, I think if anything, he's more bought in. But again, it's with the wrong guy, and that's my biggest issue with all of this.
Yeah, well, the wrong guy. Yeah, we can't even say that's debatable, but we will. But with that being,
it isn't. But okay.
With that being said, though, have you guys ever had yourself in a situation where you tried so hard to do something? I mean, you gave your full fledged
everything,
effort, all your all, and you still couldn't get it right. Yes. That's the space that he's in right now. And I've been in that space before, not just with sports, but just with other things in life. And it's disheartening to be there. It's debilitating. And that's where he's at right now.
Well, according to ESPN reporter Jameson Hensley for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson did not practice today. Didn't say what the injury was, but he finished Sunday's game against Minnesota, took some hard hits. So we don't know if he's out or not, but again, did not practice today. If Lamar does not play on Sunday, do you guys actually think the Browns could win this game?
Gerard, I'll let you take that one.
I ain't getting into that.
How about this? Let me answer. I do think that the Browns have an outside chance, and the reason why is because it's at home. It's at home, and you typically, Kevin Stefanski, typically in
Snoop
his 6 years,
potentially
has done well.
I believe he's the backup.
Snoop is, it was
he's
him.
He's beaten us before.
Him and Cooper Rush, I think, are the two.
He has. Now, if it's Cooper Rush, I would feel much better. But even Snoop.
Snoop, you can make the arguments better than Justin Fields right now.
Yeah, you could. And I'd probably believe it. Justin is a broken man. We talk about broken people. Justin's a broken
guy. And that's
not
a shot at Justin.
No,
I don't want to see him fail.
I love Justin Fields. Buckeye, love him. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, hasn't gone the way. It's because he just never got the right stuff in the NFL. He's going from Chicago to Pittsburgh, where they didn't believe you, and now to the Jets. Yeah, it just never felt right. The spread has gone from 9.5. It is now down to 7.5.
so they know something's up.
So they do know. Vegas knows that this is a definite possibility. If Snoop starts, I'm not picking the Browns. I'm just here to tell you, RJ, I'm not picking the Browns on Friday. But it is going to be much closer because they are at home and they might actually cover the spread.
Well, let's move on to Hall of Famer Joe Thomas as he joined Cleveland Browns Daily yesterday. And you can listen to Cleveland Browns Daily from 3 to 5 each week on 850 ESPN Cleveland. But Joe was asked how the Browns can find success in the final 8 games. And here's what he had to say.
Build like little goals into what you're doing every day. And you focus on those things and you're like, okay, let's just get better at this thing. And then we can consider like today a victory or this weekend a victory because we got better at these three things. So we're going to just focus really hard on those. And you know what? If it leads us to victory, amazing. But if it doesn't, at least we feel like we're building.
No one knows how to navigate these types of Brown seasons better than Joe, as he kind of lived that the whole career. Mm-hmm. What does success in the last 8 games look like to you guys?
Yeah, well, he just dropped like some... like studies, there's like research on this that make little small attainable goals when you're struggling the way that we're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's get a first down. Hey, let's not jump off sides. Hey, let's do something positive. Little goals in practice, start in practice, and hopefully that transfers to the football field. So what he's saying is actually an actual approach that specialists who are in the field of helping things improve tell you to do. But ultimately, it's going to come down to you can't have one unit play as – if you get average play, you give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
But if you give – I mean, what the special teams did was
– atrocious.
I can't say it better myself.
Yeah.
You're not going to win because we already know that any – if the defense falls off, we're definitely going to lose.
Absolutely.
We stand no chance.
Agreed. Because we know the offense at best.
You got 15 points coming at best.
At best. So, yeah, no, the defensive falls off, you're screwed. Special teams falls off, you're screwed. Offense, there's no hope for you to be, you know, to be what we all were hoping it could possibly become. For me, the wins, and I love the little win aspect of that. The littlest win of them all is figuring out if Shador is the guy. Again.
I like how you snuck that in there,
now,
dog.
Hear me out. Nice. Hear me out. If you figure it out, if you find out he goes out there and he has four games and they're 0 for 4 and he looks bad, looks like he doesn't study, it doesn't look like he does anything proper, he's not preparing the right way, then you know, okay, we absolutely need to find a quarterback in the first round with one of our first two picks, probably the first pick. If that's the case, that's a win. Because, again, I don't think that you're going on some winning streak or going to finish the year at 4-4 and end up having six wins on the season. I don't think that's the case. I think you need to figure out who Shador Sanders is. Because if you figure out who he is, good or bad, you like your chances so much better in the future.
Well, let's move on to the Cavs as they take on the Heat tonight in Miami for the second time in 3 days. On Monday, Darius Garland went down and hurt the same toe he had surgery on in the offseason. Cavs did release a statement today that he has a contusion in his left big toe, that he will be out and continue his post-surgery management plan. So all in all, pretty good news as he could have been out for the whole season. Are you guys starting to worry about the injuries becoming a problem for Garland since he's had multiple throughout his career?
Yeah. How can you not? He's unfortunately become injury prone, and that's a problem because once you become injury prone, hence the word prone, it means it's going to happen more often than not. So, yes, that is a problem.
I mean, Darius Garland has always been that, though. I mean, I don't think he's had a year, you know, of 75 plus games or what, maybe 75 one time. I think that was last year. But outside of that, it's 50, 60 games a year. So you're always going to have this. The most important thing is that he's healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing. So if he needs to sit until February, I'd be okay with that. February sounds like such a long time away.
But it's not.
But it is.
You
got the All-Star break in there. You have all of these things sort of coming down the vine for it. So for me, just be healthy for the playoffs. If you have to miss a couple months, I can live with that.
So, I mean, we're still in a rather early – I mean, we're almost 2 weeks into November.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at Valentine's Day as his return, that's 3 full months.
Yeah. And but this is the caveat to that. If you're going to take 3 months off, I need you to be 100% healthy moving forward.
And then you come right back and don't jack that toe up.
That's the biggest thing.
Are the injuries enough of a concern to move on from Garland to trade him? I know their salary
no
cap.
One, no one would do that.
Right.
Like
Cavs wouldn't do that.
You would get pennies on the dollar, and you can't do that. You can't do that. You're already, and I don't even know with what the second apron rules are.
Here we go, that apron,
right? Yeah, I don't even know what happens with that. You know, there were.
I think it has to be equal exchange or something like that from a financial standpoint. And I'm purely speculating, but yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right though. So if Garland's making $35 million a year, you got to find another point guard that makes identical money,
right?
And that a team would be willing.
And who's giving up a $35 million point guard?
Nobody.
For a guy who's injury prone,
right? Nobody.
Fair enough. The other people that are going to be out tonight are Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley for rest,
G-move.
And Jalen Tyson out with a concussion. We'll finish off the refresh with a congratulations to Guardians manager Stephen Vogt, as he won his second manager of the year in only his second year as manager. Vogt spoke to the media and was asked what stood out to the voters to give him the award once again.
You know, obviously the things we went through off the field, the 10 games losing streak, the 1-9 stretch, being 15 and a half back. And really, you know, we've talked about this, right? We know we need to get better in a lot of areas. And I think a lot of people looked at our team and didn't count us in for very much. And So to see us win another division and overcome a lot of the things that we did, I think they noticed. And it was really cool to win this, noticing that people around the country saw what we did and really appreciated it. And so I feel very honored about that.
I agree with everything Vogt said. However, we've seen 5 total coach/manager of the year's awards across Cleveland coaches, 2 with Stefanski, 2 with Vogt, 1 with Atkinson. Nice accolades, but the ultimate goal is to win a championship. Do you guys still get excited about these awards, or are you kind of numb to it?
No, I don't get excited about it, but obviously it's a feather in the cap for the guys who win it, and deservingly so. The problem is, though, and here's where our problem is, it is deserving what he did. And you say, okay, you accomplished this? That's damn near equivalent. It's not a winning a World Series, but considering what you're starting at and where you got to do that, it's a hell of a run.
Yeah, it's a hell of a run. I don't get super excited like I used to. You know, like when Voter won it, you know, last year, I was like, yeah, let's go. You just came off the ALCS and Atkinson, number one seed. Like, you felt good about that. This one, it does feel kind of numb just because it's back-to-back, but it is such a cool award that he absolutely deserves all the credit in the world because – he's right. People were counting him out as early as June, July. Like everyone was like dead in the water. They're done. You know, just stick a fork in them. Let's talk Browns. How'd that work out? Not great. So the fact of the matter is that they fought through all of that, not including the Ortiz and Class A stuff. They fought through everything, and they all came together. And that's a really cool thing to see.
And that is the refresh.
Coming up next, we'll continue our discussion on the Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, and Deshaun Watson. You listen to The Next Level on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
This is The Next Level with Emmett Golden and Jerrod Cherry on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I'm hearing word, and this is nothing from within the Browns organization whatsoever, but you know how certain people have access to information. They seem to know things.
Inside sources?
And they actually come to pass is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing these rumblings that Deshaun Watson is not a foregone conclusion or thought far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned, and that he could be an active player moving forward in this quarterback situation that we have with Gabriel and Shedeur. And some of the opinion that I've heard from that we could see a situation where Deshaun Watson takes the football field before Shedeur Sanders. Hit us up at 216-710-0850. Are you in favor of that? Are you against that? Where do you stand, Slick?
So I would be furious if Deshaun Watson starts at quarterback for this Cleveland Browns team before Shedeur Sanders gets an opportunity. My thought, and just my overarching thought, is that if it were up to me, I would be starting Shedeur today. But I understand that's not the case. I would start Shedeur in Vegas against the Raiders. I would give him a 4-5 game leash, kind of like what you did with Dylan Gabriel. And if he ends up being what I hope he is, then you roll with him the rest of the year. If he gets injured or looks terrible, I think you open up the practice window and give Deshaun Watson the ability to come back. Now, I don't want to see Watson out there. I think a lot of people would revolt. You know, like Browns fans would be
240 or 230?
$230 million guaranteed over 5 years.
And you don't want to see that at all?
I no, because again, just like Dylan Gabriel, I'm going to keep the same mindset. I know what you are, and you are not the franchise quarterback. So I don't want to see him out there. I would prefer to give Shedeur the remaining portion of the games, but that's not the case. Deshaun, by the way, did tweet. It wasn't tweet out. It was an Instagram post. He posted, this was a couple days ago, I think, on Deshaun Watson's Instagram, "Be ready, more glory." And then the caption underneath said, "Had to walk a lot of miles to get here." Mm. So it does sound like
somebody's coming back.
It sounds like he's closer to being activated than not. Now, Kevin Stefanski keeps saying, "I don't know. I'm not even there," which eventually you're going to have to figure that out.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. We got Rain in Lorraine. What are your thoughts on Deshaun Watson, Rain?
Oh, man, this is ridiculous. Like, all these narratives of people, seriously, like, all these narratives that Tony Grossi and Mary Kay are putting out that the Browns may want to see Deshaun Watson. No, they don't. What do you think they want to see? Him go out there and get hurt again, then they have to cover his rehab? This ridiculous anybody but Shedeur narrative is crazy. And if they want to play Deshaun, go ahead, play him. And when you hear those boos, and when the stadium's empty, you'll get what you asked for. But that's all I got to say.
That was a lot, Ray. But I'm here to tell you, Ray, it ain't just Mary Kay and Tony Grossi saying this.
No, there's a lot of people out there that are saying this. Again, I agree. I don't want to see Deshaun Watson out there. I don't. I know what Deshaun is. He's played 19 of like a possible, feels like 70 games, whatever it is. It's a lot, and you paid him a lot to get nothing. It's over. It's done with. We know he's not the franchise quarterback. Again, that's the reason why I want to see Shador be given an opportunity to fail. That's all I'm asking for. I'm asking for an opportunity to fail for Shador. If he goes out there and looks great, fantastic, then you don't have to draft a quarterback next year. But if he looks bad, okay, then we can talk about that then.
All right, we got my man Ethan in Virginia who wants to talk about Deshaun Watson. What's up, Ethan? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing great, my man. Doing great. What you got
awesome.
For us?
Hey, all right. So I think with the Watson thing, as Nick is saying, we know what he is. I don't see him in the future plans, so I really don't see why he needs to be on the field. We do need to know, as you guys have noted, as Nick has said, we need to know if Shador Sanders could be the answer, because Dylan Gabriel ain't it. And if Sanders isn't the dude, we know Gabriel's not the dude. We got to figure out alternate plans for next season, whether it be in the draft or another free agent if they don't like the draft class because of the position, whatever it is. But bottom line, I don't know what you do with Watson and his balloon cap hit or what dead cap hit, but I don't want to see him on the field. It is the symbol of all that is terrible right now in Browns land.
The great call.
What the f*** been going on here?
It's a great call, Ethan. Thank you.
That's basically what he's saying. Let's stay on the dial. We got Diane in Alaska. What's up, Diane? How you been?
Hey, man. I missed you, Gerard. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, before I answer your question, one, please tell Cal not to wear the yellow uniforms. I hate those.
Okay.
Two, I want to dispel the notion that, we don't want to traumatize these young quarterbacks and break them. Is there anything in Shador's constitution upbringing that would make you think that if he played or didn't play, that he's a broken man?
Great
and
point.
I'll say the same for Dylan. You and I know Hawaiians from the West Coast. You're not going to break either one of these if they played, if he gets pulled, if he goes back in. I just don't believe that. Both of them are going to strap it up next year and go after it. So that notion's bad. In terms of Deshaun, I'm a new Cleveland Browns fan. I'm not affected by this trauma. I can look at him from a GM point of view and say he's an asset. Still, I would be upset if he played before Shador, but I also think maybe you got to see what you got because maybe, you know, I know his salary is really high and not tradable, but he's an asset.
Right.
So play Shador, let Shador finish out the next few if Shador doesn't show you what you want. But you need so many players, not drafting a quarterback is how I would build a roster if you made me GM of the day for the Cleveland Browns next draft day. But and then maybe not today, but on another day, could you explain to me the difference between a play action and an RPO? Because I was looking at advanced stats and it confuses me. But all right. You guys have a great day.
All right.
Last question. Nick, I need your shirt size because I have a hockey jersey coming toward you.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. Three X for that one. Big boy.
All right. Well, you're on back order because that's what I ordered. But I missed the Friday you chose your team, but I'm going to make you a UAA Seawolf.
Okay.
And,
love it.
And you'll be the only one in town.
Love it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you,
that.
Diane. Let me see if I can do this quickly. Play action pass. The whole point of it is to influence the pass with a run game with the pass. Well, the pass game with the run game, and that you can fake something and you throw it. RPO, you actually have the option to do both run and pass at the same time, and you don't have the offensive line move off the line of scrimmage. Play action pass is simply I'm faking a run, but really I'm going to pass because I've had success running.
Yeah,
it's really that simple.
Yeah, there's zero thought process of the actual run. It's you're going all the way with the pass.
Yeah. It's all way past. RPO, you have the option. With that being said, we have the options to go to a break, but we're not going to do that. We're going to keep talking about this because something you said slick to me in regards to Deshaun Watson that really registered with me in that obviously we know the money, the financial details of what took place with that. But say he did get out there on the football field, and it could be even next week is a possibility against the Raiders. He could make his return. If he played good and say they went on a winning streak with him, would you still – and again, he's under contract.
He is. He has it's a full year next year as well.
So if he went on a 5 or 6 game winning streak and you saw a difference in the quarterback play and all of a sudden we started winning games, would you still be on this play, Shadur?
So this is the thing. It's I don't think it's feasible that he would be able to play next week. But let's say,
I think it's possible.
Well, this is the thing. With the
way he's clear, he can be clear next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you can open up the window. They haven't opened up the window yet. That's the biggest thing. It's a 3 week window.
You know what I love, and I have not even rubbed this in.
What's that?
Because when I said this, how many months ago?
You've been talking about it for a minute. Yeah,
he'd factor in. And you guys looked at me like I was half crazy.
Well, because we all thought that this would never come down to it. We thought that you had four different quarterbacks on this roster ahead of Shadur.
1.5, had 6, 7.
I think he had 6 at one point in time. So yeah, we all thought it was crazy. Kudos to you if he does come out here. But this is the thing. I don't think he balls out. Let's say in a hypothetical world, in the upside.
Do you want him to ball
out? Let's say this. In the upside down world, okay, of Stranger Things, and he goes out there and he looks like an MVP candidate for the last 6 games of the year, okay? And he looks, you know, 19 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, and you win 5 of the last 6. Of course, you're going to bring him back.
Got to.
Okay, of course. That ain't happening. This ain't the upside down world, Stranger Things. This, you know, it's
sure
not the
that?
Other world. It's not Earth 2094. Like, this is the real life sort of thing. Deshaun Watson is not that guy. He's proven to be, he has proven he has not been that guy in half a decade, 5 years since the last time he was a good quarterback in this league.
It's going, but I'm still going to play it anyway.
You sure about that?
It is what it is.
Coming up next, we'll get random. You listen to The Next Level on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
This is The Next Level with Emmett Golden and Jerod Cherry on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Yes, we are The Next Level. Jerod Cherry, Nick Paulus, Carmen Kahlo. Emmett Golden is on assignment, and it's time for us to get random.
It's time to get random on The Next Level. While The Next Level is always random, but right now, it's time for Random Thoughts with Jerod Cherry. Talk to him, Jerod.
So I saw something wild this morning. It was the housekeeping Olympics, where people were getting timed in making beds, fluffing pillows.
I saw that.
Vacuuming.
The bed making.
Where was this?
I don't know.
But they were in an auditorium.
I saw a random clip.
It was fascinating.
What channel was it on?
I saw it on Twitter. It was like a random clip.
Okay.
With all that being said, though, it got me to thinking. Now, I am one of the best dishwashers known to mankind. I mean, if I ever need a job as a bar back or a dishwasher, I got you covered. Because I think I excel at washing dishes. And it's not just one just throw them in the dishwasher and call it a day. I do something that's really not even sensible. I wash the dishes and then I put them in a dishwasher.
I've seen a lot of people do that.
And I don't know why I do that, but I do that.
It's like a sense of security, like to make sure it's clean.
But again,
and that way you're not too concerned about it.
Yeah, the dishwasher is going to do better than I am because the water coming out there is way hotter.
It is.
Than what I'm putting on my hands when I'm washing the dishes.
That's true. Yeah, but at the same time, it's like double clean.
Yeah.
In your
so
eyes.
Dishwashing would be certainly my like man. I got a technique for forks, spoons, silverware, plates. I mean, I haven't got a technique where something's really ingrained onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll heat it up, let it boil, and then I'll take it off. Or I'll use you ever played old school Nintendo with a track and field game?
Yeah.
All right, so to run real fast, I used to have this technique where I go like that, like I'm doing a scratch off.
Yeah.
His finger wasn't fast enough for me, RJ, because I would run like a 9-something or 10-something doing the finger way real fast. But you do that scratch off way, now you're running like 4.8, 5.2.
Okay.
So that same technique works for washing dishes.
So you're like scrubbing.
Basically like a scratch off.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of something that I do really well at. Washing dishes might be
your go-to?
It. That might be the go-to right there. Just because I'm you just go to town on it. Like you got to have the right scrub brush essentially with the hard back of it and just scrub the hell out of it. get those things spick and span, basically. But I don't know.
Do most people who make their beds daily? I try to.
No, God, no.
No?
No. Military people do all the time. Like, that's the go-to. Like, you have to have military. You absolutely have to do that.
Oh, okay, 7-day week. I'm going to make my bed at least 4 to 5 days a week.
God, no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
God, maybe once? Maybe?
4 to 5 times a year, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
God, no.
So
yeah.
When you walk in the room, you don't like seeing those pillows organized in the bed just a certain way? You just hop right in that bad
boy.
Hey,
as long as I'm getting those sheets washed every other week.
I heard that, dog.
Yeah,
then that's... I don't care how
that's
they
the
look.
Big, that's the big stuff. You got to make sure that you get those washed a lot.
Yeah, especially this time. Well, any time of year, because we sweat, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's summertime, you better get those things done like every week.
Yeah, but nah. So I guess I'm the minority there. Most people don't make their beds up anymore.
God no, no. I that's gone by the wayside. I think
now if I'm at a hotel for like a couple days, I won't make it up. Then I'll let them do their job.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, but even then though, I find myself going around the hotel room and I straighten up things. I don't leave things laying on the floor.
So like I'm not going into a hotel room and trashing and throwing stuff everywhere. Like I think that's disrespectful.
Right.
But like for the bed itself, like I'm gonna leave it. I don't like the top layer of the like the.
Well, they've gotten away from that now, man. They're like they don't really have. Back in the day, it was like you're crazy. We didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be crazy to sleep on a comforter or a hotel bed. Ain't no telling what was in that thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
They don't really use comforters anymore. It's more like a real thick sheet.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm not a huge thick sheet type of person. I'm a big guy. I'm sweating. Like I don't like being too hot whenever I go to bed. When I get into a hotel room, I crank that thing down as low as possibly can go. And it doesn't matter the time of year. I will make sure it's like 60 degrees in that hotel room. And then I don't like having the thick sheets with that.
Yeah. So, nah, I'm definitely of the opinion that it's better and much more comfortable to sleep cold than hot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Carmen?
I'd probably get like last place in almost everything. I'm just a big procrastinator of these kind of things, so I'm just late to everything.
You seem like a dish soaker, and you're gonna let those things.
I'm just gonna toss it into the dishwasher, you know.
With food in it?
I mean, yeah.
If I did a grind my gears, that grinds my gears. I even get mad here when people do it. I'll comment like, who keeps on putting dishes with pasta on it still in the dishwasher?
My biggest issue.
No, I'll wipe that like here for sure. Yeah.
My biggest issue here is that when people clean out, you know, they'll throw the stuff into the, you know, disposal and whatever, and that's fine. You do that. But the sink has like all the remnants of like,
wash
there's like
out,
little beans and like spaghetti noodles, and they're just in there. Like people will see me. I'll be back there. I'll wash up my like little dish that I have for like cottage cheese or something like that. Wash that
you're
up.
Still eating cottage cheese.
Like, well, I just started. Like I'm trying to do more diet stuff. I'm trying to be better, Gerard. So I'm trying not to do anything too wild. Cottage cheese is good for
you. Can you put some cinnamon or something in it?
No. If you want, like I can throw like some like blueberries or something in it, peaches or something. I don't know. Like I'm fine with whatever. I'm fine with cottage cheese as itself. But either way, like I'm cleaning out the dish in there.
Acquired taste.
And for whatever reason, like people will leave like the remnants of whatever they just had in there. So I'm putting the water in. I'm making sure it all goes down the drain. That way it looks clean in the dish. Or I'm sorry, in the
sink.
Well, the sink.
Right, I know what you meant. One of my first jobs I ever had was as a custodian. And I worked as a custodian at UC Berkeley, which is Cal, and ended up going there. But I started off as a custodian and mopping the floor. And I enjoyed mopping because you know what I would do? I pretend like I was dancing with the mop. I would love to do that. That was like my go-to thing. Like, especially because you know how it'd be like if you get a heavy mop, where it's like, I don't even know what they call the part that does them. I guess it's just called the mop.
It's just the mop head.
Mop
head.
That's what's called a mop head. And then like wringing it out and watching all the dirty water come out of it and be like, man, that much dirt was on the floor. It's pretty amazing if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Or disgusting. How much dirt is on floors?
It's certainly very disgusting. One of my first jobs was I worked at Parasson's, the Italian restaurant out in Akron. The location that I worked at no longer there. It's no longer there, but I was a dishwasher and like a busboy dishwasher. And I just spent hours back there doing that.
Does anyone know if the Richfield Tavern is still in existence?
No clue.
Okay.
Is that by
someone asked me that today.
Is that by like Whitey's?
That's what I was wondering too, because I know Whitey's is in existence. So
yeah,
Whitey's
is great. I go to Whitey's for burgers. Oh, it's so good. The burgers there are fantastic.
Yeah, man.
What's it called again?
The Richfield Tavern.
Richfield Tavern. It is. RJ says it is.
Alicia's Tavern of Richfield.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It is. Okay. Yeah.
Because someone asked me that today. I was on a radio show and they're like, "Does Richfield Tavern still exist?" I'm like, "I don't know, man. I know Richfield. I know Richfield Coliseum doesn't exist. It's just I called it a grassy knoll. It is just it's just grassy.
It certainly
now, what
is.
Makes it a knoll if it's on a hill?
I think that's what a knoll is, right? Isn't that
I
a
think.
Grassy?
I don't like know.
It's not.
So
quite
I guess technically
hill.
I'm right because it is in a hilly area.
It's almost like a kind of like a bump or something. Yeah. I think
a grassy knoll.
Grassy knoll.
Yes,
a small grassy hill or mound.
Look at that. Look at that. It's a little bump. There it is.
Well, it's time for us to bump. Coming up next, we will let you know who went next level. You listen to the Next Level on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
This is the Next Level with Emmett Golden and Jerrod Cherry on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Next Level. Jerrod Cherry, Nick Paulus, Carmen Kahlo. And it's time to let you all know who went next level.
Who went next level today? It's time for the Next Level Performers of the Day.
And my Next Level Performers of the Day, because they've been on my mind and I need to give them some shout outs. And right now, obviously, with a lot of economic uncertainty going on, there's also food insecurity. So I want to give some love out to the fine people at the Akron Canton Food Bank, because, again, they do such a great thing. And as well as the Cleveland Food Bank also, because they do a tremendous job of helping people in need with food insecurity as well. So those two are my Next Level Performers of the Day.
My Next Level Performer of the Day is someone that we didn't get to talk about yesterday, because obviously we shouted out Emma Golden for, you know, fighting through everything. Jerrod, I don't know if you've watched a whole lot of Carolina games this year.
Oh,
Caleb Wilson is that dude. Double-double, I think it's his third game.
I meant
to
give you love yesterday for your T-shirt. It just slipped my mind. Oh,
appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, it's a brand-new shirt. Love it. Carm, you're a UNC guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am an Ohio State and UNC fan.
Caleb Wilson. Remember the name, because he is a stud, a diaper dandy, as what Dick Vitale would say. So, kid's a stud. He was a monster the other night. Ended up with a double-double.
And also, too, let me throw in the Hunger Network. Can't forget them as well as what they do in Northeast Ohio.
Of course.
I'm going to give it to a hockey fan at the, I believe it was the Avalanche versus Ducks game. A hockey puck went out of bounds. He caught it with one hand.
Whoa!
Had a tall boy of Coors Banquet in his hand. Gets up. Crowd goes wild. Chugs the beer. And it was just a cool moment. It was a guy just being a dude. It was a cool moment. Cool moment.
So, Carmen, earlier, Slick and I were talking about the college playoffs and where Ohio State finds himself being number one. I was saying this, Slick. I'm like, I could see them winning this again because, again, I don't want to. But the key thing, too, is how are you going to respond to the Michigan game? I think you're going to end up seeing Indiana in some form or fashion in the Big Ten championship. But that doesn't – I'll be honest with you. I don't – again, I think they're
– right. Yeah, it's going to be in Indianapolis. And, again, I mean, Buckeyes are going to be favored in that game.
I mean, Indianapolis is an hour and a half, two-hour drive. So it's not like it's going to be – probably – I wonder which is closer. Can you do that right quick, RJ? Which is closer, Columbus or Bloomington, Indiana?
I would think that it was probably
I
want to
say Indianapolis, what, 150, 100, 200 miles from Columbus, if that?
Yeah, it's probably not too bad. But, yeah, just being in, you know, Indiana for it, I think it'll be fine. It'll probably be a 50-50 split, which is typically how those championship games go. You know, they sort of split it right down the middle, and each team gets their own sort of section and kind of go from there.
Okay, Cleveland to Columbus?
No, Columbus to Indianapolis.
Okay, give me a second.
But, yeah, I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome playoffs. The way that the committee has got it all out there right now, it looks really cool. I love the fact that the top four teams stayed the same. You know, obviously, Ohio State, Indiana.
They didn't lose. Why would A&M you change them?
Well,
right.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk of, like, people switching
Penn State
between.
Struggled.
Exactly. Oh, RJ? Problem.
Columbus to Bloomington, Indiana is 3 hours, 58 minutes.
So that means Bloomington is closer to Indianapolis then.
Okay. Yeah. And either way, again, I think it's still going to be 50-50 split, maybe 60-40 split. Ohio State, just, I mean, they're everywhere. So
you got Indiana State, you got Purdue, you got Indiana, you got Notre Dame. Did I miss any major colleges in Indiana?
In Indiana?
I don't think so.
Those are the big ones, right?
Yeah, yeah. Those are the big ones, yeah.
Right, and Indiana State doesn't even really count. The only reason I threw that in is because of Larry Bird in basketball.
Right, yeah, outside of that, but yeah.
But really, it's Purdue, Indiana, and Notre Dame.
Yes, yeah, that seems to be the only ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wabash?
No, I don't think so.
Think about this, though. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Okay, so Ohio has, we'll start with, obviously, the biggest, that being Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Then next in line, you'd probably say Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then after that, you start into the MAC squads.
Yeah. Ohio University.
Bowling Green.
Kent, Bowling Green. Well, Toledo, yeah.
Miami.
And Miami.
Miami U, yeah.
And then, did you even say?
Those are the big D1 schools.
Right. Did we say BG? Bowling Green?
We said that
Bowling
one first.
Bowling Green, yep. Yeah.
Did we say?
Dayton?
We didn't say, well, that's a Division II. Mm-hmm. But for basketball, it's huge.
Yeah. Flyers, yeah. Dayton Flyers, yeah.
For basketball, it's huge.
Yeah, it's, again, this playoff rankings, I think they got it right. The top 12 teams seem to be pretty close to where they need to be. The fact that Texas is back in there, I like that.
That helps
obviously
Ohio.
For State. Ohio State, yeah, I think that's huge. So it's going to be awesome to see.
Well, heck, Ohio has enough schools in it to they can have their own. They want to. They can have their own conference.
Yeah, but, I mean, how would that go?
I'm just saying.
Fair.
I mean, like, we know how
like,
it goes.
So are you saying, like, let's break down state by state who has the best football?
Well, stable. I mean, that's okay. Then you start getting.
I think you go to, like, Texas, Miami, or Miami.
Florida.
Florida, yeah.
But they're off right
Georgia.
Now. Right.
Georgia would be a good one, yeah.
Well, that really is just Georgia Tech. I mean, are you going to give love to who else?
That's probably it,
that's
right?
Probably it.
Yeah,
right.
Which is wild.
Alabama, South Alabama, North Alabama. Auburn?
Yeah, Auburn's in, yeah. I thought Auburn was in Georgia. That's why like it popped in my head, but no.
North Carolina has a lot of colleges, too, though. Coastal Carolina, Charlotte. You got
obviously
Duke,
Carolina, right.
Carolina,
yeah, Duke.
Wake Forest, North Carolina State.
California would
have
be
a gang
huge,
of it, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a big one, yeah.
Stanford, USC, UCLA.
San Diego State.
Right.
San Jose State.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch in California as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some states could have their own conference. Yeah. You certainly could. So, tomorrow, we got a big game tonight with the Cavaliers. I'm pretty sure we'll discuss how Jared Allen changes the narrative.
Well, I hope so. I
really
hope
so. How he goes out there
so.
And dominates on the boards and everything else.
He needs to, man. You're going to be the only one out there. You might as well. Come on.
Yeah, we'll get some help and support from his friends. Well, thank you for listening to us. We got some support from our friends for Nick Paulus, Carmen Kahlo, RJ, as well as Tony Grossi. I am Gerard Cherry, and you have been listening to The Next Level. And as my man E. Goldie would say, we'll see you when we see you.